You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dahati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Hey, we're here with another episode of With Friend of the Podcast. Okay, there's a history there. We need to talk about more than just Friend of the Podcast, but it's been a while there, bro, since we were podcasting together. This podcast used to be Ed and Daniel M and Todd and Daniel M for like 700 episodes.
It was crazy.
It was crazy, bro. I didn't even know it was like the three of us for like a year or something. And then I was so excited that it was, I just thought I'd do a podcast every other week. I didn't know that the other week was you. Who listens to their own podcast? So
I don't know.
Okay. I'm exaggerating a little bit. It wasn't really a year, but good to hear you're my friend. You doing okay?
Oh, I'm doing great.
Good. Well, we're excited to bring your insights as always to this conversation here at the New Churches Podcast. For those of you who know Todd Atkins, you know him for his leadership acumen, his hosting this podcast was the most important thing that ever took place in his life, but there are other things that he did as well. And so let's jump into our conversation today. I want to talk about transitions and leaving well. Now, I will tell you, I'm going to a little confession here. You know, I've had the privilege of planting, I don't know how you count, but six churches, people say I planted four of them as lead pastor. And one of the things I learned at the first church plant, Calvary Christian Church in Buffalo, New York, is I didn't know how to leave. And the problem is I had been influenced by Rick Warren. I say the problem is I've been influenced by Rick Warren. Let me explain. So Rick Warren says, so go to one place and tell him you're going to stay there 50 years and whatever, you know, I forget what he said. And he wrote about in his in Purpose Driven Church, he was going to like retire, and then he didn't when he said he was going to. But my point is I was influenced by Rick Warren, so I told everyone that I'm going to stay there for 50 or whatever it was. I'm going to stay here to retire. I'm planting my flag till I retire, and then I didn't. So point number one, I shouldn't have said that. But this is again the inordinate influence of Rick Warren on cassette tapes that I was listening to back in that day. So then when I left. First of all, I left and I wanted to give them lots of time to make a transition. So I said, you know, I'll announce it and do months of transition. Not a great idea. Second, people were mad at me. They felt a little bit betrayed that because I said I wasn't going to go. And so I really learned in the next church plant, you know, next church plant, I transitioned. Matter of fact, the pastor I transitioned to stayed there for a decade. So I think that went great. The church is doing great. It's thriving. Most recent church plant left the transition. That pastor stayed a while, but then I got another pastor. But there's no, Elmer Towns used to say to me, there's no success without a successor. And in Buffalo, we did have a guy who took my place, but it took a little while and I wasn't prepared at all for the transition. So help me to think about these issues. Remember, of course, as you know, our audience is church planning, but tell us a little bit about what advice you give around transitions.
Well, you know, I don't know who said it first, so I can't give the quote to the right person, but every role is an interim role, you know, especially when it comes to church life. And so that's something that we always need to remember. But I think you hit the nail on the head of, you know, the churches that are going to be best at transitioning well are those that are thinking about succession. Therefore, creating a culture that transitions well means creating a culture that develops well and intentionally. And so, you know, when I think about setting it up really well, it's understanding that I'm only here for a specific amount of time. I need to make sure that I am not changing the role over the course of time so much so that only I can do it. I think we have a tendency to do that because, you know, it's self-preservation. It may necessitate our own existence as well. But when we're thinking about transitioning, especially if we're thinking about it before we let others know, then we really need to consider, you know, auditing, quote unquote, auditing our role and say, okay, how much of the role is me and how much of the role is, I don't know, not agnostic, but how much of the role is not me, how much is really needed and could be handed over.
Yeah. So yeah, when we think about kind of the process, particularly with church planning, I mean, church planning is, I think in some ways it's sort of unique because, you know, when I was pastoring a staff, let me give you an example, like Moody Church. When I was at Moody Church, I would actually get up and say, hey, I'm just the interim. If you don't like this, I'm just the interim. It became a joke. So whenever I said, hey, we got to work on this, or I tried to nudge or admonish people, I'd say, hey, if you don't like it, I'm just the interim. But then when I wasn't the interim, when I was a pastor of a church, I was still the pastor. The church I pastored was founded in the 50s. So I was just another pastor in a line of pastors. So, you know, right. There wasn't this sense that it was so connected with me. But with church planting, it's so connected with you. I would say every person of the first 100 people who came to our churches, came because probably they knew me, they had some relationship with me, I invited them, whatever. So it's very hard to extricate yourself from that. And so what additional endeavors would you say you have to undertake? You started unpacking that more. I guess I want to hear more because I still remember, I mean, it was a really hard thing to have people mad at you, that you led to Christ, that you walked on this journey, that you discipled. And you know, to be fair, I did tell them one thing, that I was going to stay until I retired, and I was wrong.
Right. Well, I do think it, when I was talking about, you know, if you know that you're starting to feel a tug to plant somewhere else, right, or you've got, you know, there's whatever issues are arising that are making you think about transition, it is a good time to audit, you know, the people that are most connected with you. Those will be a lot of times the people that helped you launch. Sometimes those people get burnt out and go already. But those that stuck with you through that, and they stuck through the times that were difficult, and they stayed and they're still around, I don't know because I haven't planted it, but I'm guessing those are the people that you are most concerned about and are probably the ones that are most upset because they don't understand, you know, they went through all this. They went through all this with you in part because of you and your leadership and your vision. And now they feel like you're stepping out or you're letting them down. So number one, consider those relationships. Mm-hmm. Two, I would say, what are the essential pieces of your role? How have those shifted? And then also, who's there to potentially take those on? And how do you best prepare those people? I'm a very much a systems person.
Which is why we have you on the show. We love the way you think systemically.
Well, you know, leaders are notorious for casting vision.
Right.
And
notorious. I love the word notorious, but keep going.
And putting big goals out there.
Yeah.
And then once they hit the goal, it feels like, you know, they're done. What I would say is, okay, that's fine. But ultimately you don't rise to the level of your goal, you fall to the level of your systems and how those are established. Whether you're talking about a plant that's growing really fast, or you're talking about a campus that's growing really fast, or whatever it is, a lot of times we're just trying to play catch up and keep up. And we're putting some of those things in place that are maybe not as clean as they could be from a systems perspective. We were just trying to keep our head above water, and sometimes either shift and move quickly because something wasn't working, or because things were working great and we didn't have any time to think about it. We just wanted to keep the growth going. And so I would say now is a time to take a look at your systems and say, hey, are these set up to where somebody can step in and run these? Are these set up in a way that is not completely dependent and contingent on me and my personality and even my gifts and skill set? And the last thing I would say is dependencies, you know, making sure that some of those dependencies are in place, whether they're financial or the lease or whatever you can do to shore up that time that's going to be in between the new person coming in. Hopefully, again, as you stated, you already have that person that's around. And if so, you need to just stay the extra time to work with that person and develop that person and hand that off accordingly.
Yeah. And what do you, like in that case, you know, I guess it was, I'm just going through counting here. So 1, 2, 3. So in where I was lead pastor, you know, I saw myself as lead pastor. The other two, I was a lead pastor. We sent out people to church plants that I started the groups. But when I was post Buffalo, the next three, I all had a handoff person. You actually know one of them. Philip Nation was one of them.
Yeah.
So all had a handoff person. And, but in that, I sort of knew, first of all, I didn't make the mistake again of saying I was going to stay forever. I've kind of learned that when it comes to church planning, I'm a 3 to 5 year old church planner. And that took me a church plant to learn that. So I felt very comfortable in each of those cases handing that over to somebody. But what if you don't have somebody? Because one of the things I found early, the first time when I didn't have anybody, and I've seen with others, is that they sort of, you know, once you announce that you're leaving or share with your elders that or your leadership team that you're leaving, you sort of, it gets awkward making decisions and sort of like, so I wanted to help them make the transition, but they really need to move on and start making the decisions themselves. And I wasn't really had the maturity to let them do that. So it became this kind of cycle of leadership uncertainty that became evident. So if I don't know the person, I founded the church. There's a heavy expectation that I would, that I have been, you know, a center point to the church because it's literally, I started the church. How do I start to empower them to make those decisions if I don't know, I guess you do either way, but if I don't know who the successor is going to be?
I would say, again, you know, one of the beautiful things would be to audit those, you know, different areas and then say, okay, as far as my transition is concerned, here's the plan and we're going to trust that process. I have to be willing to step out of that process at a specific time. It doesn't mean that I'm not going to be available to them if there's something that, you know, needs to be found or somebody forgets where something is. I've left churches and 2 or 3 years later, somebody would call me and be like, "Hey, you don't happen to have this."
Right.
And usually I did, because I'm a weird kind of guy.
I sort of remember where the stuff is for sure.
But at the end of the day, I would say you have to trust the process. I mean, especially if you're staying, you know, close and clean with the Lord and you really are feeling prompted to move on, you have to trust the process. You need to do everything that you could to bring clarity to that, you know, transition from a systems piece, from a people piece, from a dependency piece, but then say, okay, I have to step out of this so that people can, you know, pick up and move forward. Because in my experience, there are often leaders that will rise up in that absence. You want to be sure that there's a plan in place, because if there's a leadership vacuum, it just becomes the person with the loudest voice or the clearest new vision is the guy that gets to pick that up. And we know that that's not always healthy or helpful.
Yeah. So I sort of, as a new church planner, I do want to influence right decision-making. But at the same time, I can't direct it anymore. I mean, I would say too, I mean, if you've been there 20 years, it may be different. You might have a greater sense of, you know, talking about the Rick Warren situation. Rick was certainly engaged and involved in success, you know, choosing his successors. So I totally get that after 20, but for me, it's, you know, and for most church planners listening, they would have a different conversation if they were there for 30, 40, 50 years. So what should I expect? What should be my level of engagement with the succession process if I'm a church planter looking at what's next?
So typically, whether you're looking at a guy who's been there for 50 years or somebody who's been there for 5, there's, if you, you know, if we could, I wish I had a whiteboard, Ed, that we could draw this on, but you know, there's,
you'd love a whiteboard, but you can't do whiteboards on podcasts. It doesn't work.
I know. So I'm going to have to explain it. So you've got the stuff that you do that's part of your regular work. You've got wherever you're going to go and whatever you're going to do next. And then you have hopefully preparing somebody else for succession, if you're lucky enough to have that. And you will be, quote unquote, lucky enough to have that if you've done the work on the front end and really had a culture of development. In my opinion, it may not even be the senior person, but you'll have somebody there that's going to be able to work that process. What generally happens is, up until almost the very end, we're spending almost all of our time still doing the work, the regular work of the ministry until a week or two out.
Right.
And what the healthy version of that would be is that it's something that really starts to wind down before, and that curve, you know, is it doesn't look like something up to the right. It is something that is more of a that release, that transition, what is visible and invisible shifts over the course of time, where that other person is taking on more of that role up front, even before you're gone. That I think is the healthiest piece of it, is to say, okay, I've done my homework. I've looked at, you know, the dependencies. I've looked at the people. I've looked at the systems. I've looked at the, you know, all the essential pieces. And what I'm going to do is start from this point on to get that wound down, and somebody else up front and visible in those pieces and in those elements, and allow them to carry that ball. I mean, we're going to have a tendency to want to do that till the very end. And even after we're gone, there's always going to be a part of us there because we helped launch this thing. You know, in many ways, it's our baby. And whether you planted that, or it's a ministry you started in a church, or it's software that you developed, it's your baby, and it's going to be hard for you to transition away from it.
Todd, always good to have you on the podcast. We're going to have Todd again in just a couple episodes. So as always, subscribe. If you're just listening to this one-off podcast, make sure you subscribe to the podcast. And also make sure you leave a review wherever you download your podcast. Thanks for listening to the New Churches Podcast.
You've been listening to the New Churches Podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us, or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.